Okay, good morning everybody. We are ready to start our second and last day of this month's board meeting. And we are going to start with comprehensive review of IFRS for SMEs. And I give the floor to Roberta.
No, it's actually Nkumbulo.
Oh, okay. All right, please.
Thank you. Thank you, Hans. Thank you, Roberta. Good morning to everyone. At the February board meeting, the staff had communicated that it would be presenting a project plan for the second phase of the comprehensive review of the IFRS for SMEs standard in this month's board meeting. The purpose of this project plan, discussed in Agenda Paper 30, is to assist the board in deciding on the project direction for the second phase of the review based on the feedback to the request for information as well as SMIG recommendations. At today's board meeting, we are not asking board members to consider any technical questions. Instead, we ask the board whether it agrees to move the project from its research program to the standard setting work plan, confirm that the scope of the review is as set out in the request for information, work in the direction of publishing an exposure draft proposing amendments to the IFRS for SMEs standard for new requirements that are in the scope of the review, and developing proposed amendments to the IFRS for SMEs standard using the approach which the board consulted on in the request for information. Paragraphs 24 to 27 of the agenda paper discuss the due process for the board to consider before adding a project to the standard setting work plan, and note that the IFRS for SME standard is maintained through periodic review. The board is committed to publishing an omnibus exposure draft periodically. Although normally the board would propose to make major amendments only after it has published a discussion paper and received feedback, this would not be necessary for this review of the IFRS for SME standard, as we think the board has sufficient information via the feedback gathered on the request for information. Accordingly, we recommend that the board proceed directly to an exposure draft. Regarding the new requirements in the scope of the review, the feedback on the request for information provides evidence for the board to consider alignment for requirements that are effective on or before the 1st of January 2020, in line with the scope of the review as set out in the request for information. Regarding the approach in the second phase of the review, the comments provided by stakeholders, including those of the SMIG, on the alignment approach support the board continuing with the approach which the board consulted on in the request for information by treating alignment with IFRS standards as the starting point, applying the principles of relevance, simplicity, and faithful representation in determining whether and how that alignment should take place. If the board agrees with staff's recommendations to work in the direction of an exposure draft, in the coming months, we plan to bring to the board's attention papers on the topics in the scope of the review as outlined in paragraph 28 of Agenda Paper 30. Appendix A to Agenda Paper 30 summarizes the staff preliminary thoughts as well as SMIG recommendations for specific sections of the IFRS for SME standard that could be aligned with new requirements of IFRS standards and topics that are not addressed in the IFRS for SME standard for which the standard could be aligned. I now hand over to the board for discussions, after which we will focus on the questions that are set up on page 14 of the agenda paper. Thank you.
Oh, sorry, I was on mute. Thank you very much for this introduction. I hand over to the board Sue, can I ask you to take over for 5 minutes and I'll be right back.
Sure. No. Okay, Anne.
Thanks, Sue. Nick Mbolo and the team, thanks very much for this paper. I think it gives us a very helpful summary of the feedback and outlines the next steps. I do agree with your proposals, moving this to standard setting and working towards an ED. I did want to ask you something about number D of the questions. And in number D, you talk about the three principles. And I just wondered what your approach was going to be in relation to costs and benefits, because many of the stakeholders mentioned costs and benefits in relation to this project. And I just wondered, are you going to see it as a fourth principle or as an overarching consideration? And just like to ask you something else before, as well as that question. I do have some specific comments on Appendix A, but I did note that you said we're not going to do technical discussions today, but these are just things relevant to the how you're going to go about your work. So would you like me to just communicate them to you offline? So they're my two questions. Thank you.
So I think we can take the points on Appendix A offline, unless you feel there's a point you want to obviously share.
No. That would be fine, Michelle. It's just they're just things I'd like to discuss. Yeah, that'll be fine. So then I just have one question.
And so then on the cost and benefits, we did get a lot of feedback that we hadn't, and I think it was a fair point that in the request for information, we hadn't explained how we were going to address cost and benefit, but we do see them as part of the underlying principles. So as you said, we'll look at cost and benefits as we go through each of the principles.
Thank you.
Mary?
Thanks, Sue. Three observations/questions and recommendations. So you may not need to respond directly, certainly to all of them. First of all, overall agreement with the direction that the staff is proposing, including working to develop an exposure draft. I want to say the initiative that you describe in paragraph, I think it's 29, about additional outreach to SME preparers to understand some, you know, areas where users might ask for more information, where they've had particular challenges, et cetera. I think that's a really good idea in terms of giving us a bit more specificity as we're considering individual areas. So good thought, wanted to encourage doing that. The second point is I have a feeling you've thought about this, but I didn't see it captured in the paper. You reported the encouragement for the board to be flexible in terms of incorporating early some of the changes to IFRS standards if they were considered urgent or particularly relevant, and ones that come to mind include, for example, IBOR. And I just didn't know how you were thinking about how that advice interacts with the scope of what we initially consulted on in the RFI. And then the third point, it's a comment on something that's in the appendix. I want to make an observation. One of the pieces of feedback you reported in the appendix was encouragement for us to consider introducing a parallel or companion to the investment entity exception that we have in IFRS 10. And I just wanted to express some caution or skepticism about doing that. First of all, I think it would make a more difficult scope assessment in terms of what is a public interest entity for application of the IFRS for SME. And secondly, and you know, we're doing the PIR of 10, 11, 12 right now. And from our phase one research, I think some questions, issues around the definition and mechanics of the investment entity exception are likely to be something that we get a fair amount of feedback. So I don't think, even if I didn't have the scope concerns, I think I would be cautioning against moving forward with that, just in terms of what we're hearing on IFRS 10. So that's just an observation. So those three points, the good on outreach, anything that you thought met the recommendation for urgent or accelerating, and some caution about the IE comment.
Michelle, you're on mute.
Sorry, Sue, would you like me to respond to those?
Sure, yeah.
So thanks for your comment on the preparer initiative, and we have got that in progress now. On the point about flexibility of when we bring in amendments, that was particularly stressed by the SMEG members. But we have earlier, and I think when we did the IBOR amendments, we did reach out to the SMEG members about whether we should bring that amendment in early. And at that time, their recommendation was not to bring it in early. So we do look at those urgent amendments and think about whether they affect the IFRS for SMEs standard. And then I know your caution on the investment entity point. I think the feedback is a bit different from what we were anticipating. So my current thought is to time this in the project after we've had the feedback on the PIR of 10, 11, 12.
Thanks, Michelle. Jin Chao?
Thank you, Sue. I generally agree with staff's recommendation. I think it's right to move from research stage to standard setting stage, particularly based on the feedback we received from SMEG members and also commentators. I think there is a general consensus that we need to align with the principles and important definitions of IFI standards. So it's not necessary to develop other possible approaches through discussion papers. So I think it's a right way to move towards standard setting stage. In terms of the scope, I think just now Mary mentioned whether we should consider the flexibility, and particularly in relation to the IBOR reform. I think Michelle explained, I think before that, the staff actually did reach out to the SMEG members. And at the SMEG meeting, I think I remember, actually it's only one SMEG member particularly mentioned this point. But so it seemed that it's not a big issue, but I think when the staff undertaking the further engagement with preparers can seek the further feedback on in this regard. But one thing, if we open too much, too much flexibility, how to apply this principle consistent with other standards, there is a little bit risk, about introducing more complexity. But I think it's worthwhile to consider a little bit further. In relation to the question, Day, original I also has same question as Anne mentioned about how to consider the cost and the benefit concern, because many stakeholders did raise this issue. I think I understand that Michelle will and the staff will consider when we apply the swing principles we have already developed. I think it's also a right way to consider that concern. Thank you.
Thanks, Jin Chao. Francoise?
Yes, thank you. I support the staff recommendations. I only have one objection and a word of caution associated with the recommendation. So the only point to which I take a different view is the fact that we would state now and that would not go back at any time, that future reviews of the IFRS for SMEs would not reconsider an IFRS standard amendment or whatever that was considered as part of this second comprehensive review. I think we need to keep the opportunity once we have set the proposals, defined the proposals, and I totally support that the scope of the review is maintained as is. When we finalize the proposals and even after we receive the comment letters, and I think we need to be able, if we feel that from an implementation perspective, from an implementation burden perspective, for a form of disruption perspective, it would be better to, in fact, defer some changes to a further phase. So I don't think we should lock ourselves with this decision now. I think we should eventually keep that as a guiding principle, but be ready to decide against it and certainly not forget to spend time considering the overall implementation difficulty and disruption. So that was the agreement in a way. And the other point is, I fully agree with the approach, and I've heard and I understood that cost benefit would be taken all along. My concern with the cost benefit exercise with the IFRS for SMEs is that this population is extremely diverse. And we've seen in the first comprehensive review, and I think we, from what I heard in the SME implementation working group, there are really different views on how to balance closer alignment to less to simplicity, in fact. So simplicity is a criterion, but I think we need, if we want to be consistent in our approach, if we want to be orderly in our thinking, I think we need to specify, in fact, the focus we want to have. What is the part of the population we want to concentrate in order to deliver proper cost-benefit analysis? It can't be the full population. It's much too diverse. And basically, our judgment could vary from one topic to the other, and not be orderly enough. So my recommendation would be that we focus on the small and medium entities among that very wide population of non-publicly accountable entities. Thank you.
Okay. I am back. Thank you, Françoise. Bruce?
Thanks very much, Hans. Couple of things to comment on. Firstly, I'm glad to see there's large support from the feedback we've got in terms of the project. I mean, I think it is important for us to unpack all the issues in Appendix A, so I'm not going to go into the individual issues there. I guess my point I really want to make was actually similar to what Françoise had said. I mean, I get a little bit worried sometimes that we focus too much on the larger side of the SMEs, and we really kind of miss out what I consider to be, from my experience, the bulk of people using the standard, which are the true small and medium-sized businesses. And my worry at the moment is that we've just got to be cautious not to make sure we're aligning at all costs. In other words, we've got to be careful, very heavily balancing up alignment with cost benefit. Because my worry is, yes, alignment sounds great and it's wonderful, but my problem is as you start going through some of the areas where we're looking at alignment, I do get worried, and I've had comment from people I know who are preparers in this area who are saying to me, you guys are going to make this too difficult. So I just think as we work through the various issues, especially on the new standards that we've got, you look at the 9s, 15s, 16s, I think we're going to be very, very conscious that there is a bigger cost involved in those. And the value of this has been a stable platform, which isn't going to hurt people from a cost benefit point of view. The last thing I was going to say was just on the staff's recommendation on ED. I think we absolutely have to go to an ED. I think if you consider the population of people who look at this, we've already got feedback on an RFI. If we now ask them for feedback on a DP and then feedback on an ED, in the type of people we hope you're going to give us feedback, there'll be fatigue. by the time we get to ED stage, if we do a discussion paper, we're not going to get as much feedback as we want. So I think the reality is, especially knowing the commentators on this and the stakeholders, we need to go straight to an ED.
Okay. Martin?
Yes, thanks, Hans. My comments are also about the alignment approach and cost benefits. And even after all the feedbacks, I'm still not convinced that the benefits of revising the SME standards following the alignment approach would outweigh the cost preparers will suffer resulting from all the resulting changes in their systems and processes. And I still think and have expressed that view not the first time that we should revise the SME standards only when there is a problem identified with the current standards. In this case, and only in this case, we should solve the issue using the alignment approach whenever possible, but we should not change the standard for the sake of achieving alignment. And that is what I think is a big risk, because this alignment approach starts with, okay, for the sake of alignment and not solving a problem. And that is still my biggest concern with this project. And maybe we can consider the cost benefits, but if we would adjust, I think all this, what we have changed during the last 5 years, which starts with 9, 10, and then going to 13, 15, 16. And can you imagine that if we focus, what Francois said, on a small and medium-sized entity to change all the transaction processes following when we align the SME standards for all these kind of requirements? I think that would be huge cost, and maybe the benefits from users. I have not heard from users that they have big problems with the FRI's SME standards. And that should be the starting point, not the alignment approach. And that is still my concern with this project. Thanks.
Okay. Tadeo?
Thank you, Hans. Thank you, Kumbulo, for preparing the papers. I agree with the staff proposals, and I see them consistent with the responses and also what we heard from the ISMIG meeting. I just want to draw attention, and I think it's completely aligned with what the other board members said, that the discussion in relation to the alignment approach, this alignment is a starting point, and therefore the principles of relevance, simplicity, faithful will always be applied, and in general, the alignment is desirable. And I believe that the question of cost and benefit is implicit in these principles. And I think that it will cover most of the companies within the scope of the standard. Thank you.
Okay. Sue?
My comment is just an observation, and it's very much aligned with what others have been saying, so I'll be brief. But I am quite, I agree with the approach, firstly, that's the punchline, but I am quite apprehensive about the task that we've got ahead of us, because while people are supportive of with alignment, it's a very much but and subject to. And I think we're going to have to do a pretty careful and nuanced analysis. It's not going to be straightforward for us to work out when alignment is appropriate and not, because we certainly haven't got an alignment at all cost message. It's a very nuanced message. And if you think back to even the discussions we had leading to going up to with the request for information, we had some tricky conversations about when we thought that alignment was the appropriate course of action, and I think we've just got confirmation that difficult analysis is what we're going to be required to do. So I agree with the approach, but I think we it's going to be tricky.
Okay, Mary.
Yes, I just wanted to come back in with an observation I had that I think that I'd like the staff to think about as they do project plans. It's looking far ahead, but I think it's big enough that we should think about it going on. And that is, as Martin recited the number of standards, the sobering reminder of how many things have built up, both because we had a very busy time and because last time we updated, we deferred consideration of some relatively new major standards. it strikes me that when we go out with the final, that we probably would want to do more than normal education support, identification of what changes are, educational sessions and collateral. And the reason I'm bringing this up now is I think if we think that that is a good thing to do, even, you know, anticipating the tempering effect of cost benefit and the other factors that people have raised, I think we should try and practice it, as it were, in with the materials we put out with an exposure draft, in terms of helping stakeholders to focus on what the changes are, what the consequences are, and kind of more proactive on that front, because I do hear Bruce's caution that we might be hearing disproportionately from the larger end of the SME population. So my comment and request is just to think in the project plan about allowing for more time for preparing supporting materials to help make the, you know, ultimately the final changes, but, you know, practice run the exposure draft as digestible and approachable as possible.
Okay, Rika.
Thank you, Hans. I try not to readdress what as a board member already mentioned, but I truly think public entity has to be capable of being in compliance with the full IFRS standards. But I think the information demand are quite different for non-public and small, medium-sized entity. So I truly agree with other board members. We should carefully consider the balance between the alignment and cost and benefit. But especially when considering the cost and benefit perspective, I truly think it's important for us to consider, try to make these SME standards feasible and operational for SMEs, non-public accounts. That's all. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Rika. Nkambulu, would you like us to lead us through the questions?
I think Roberta's going to lead us through the questions. I think Nkambulu's got some technical Nkambulu's got some technical problems.
Yeah, okay.
So yes, Hans, I think we wanted just to confirm that the questions are on page 14 of the paper. I think that we heard quite a lot of support for the staff recommendations, so maybe we can ask the vote for all the four questions together, if you agree, or...
Of course, including all the words of caution that have been uttered by...
Yes, particularly... Particularly, I think that for point D, in clarifying that the principle of relevance, simplicity, and faithful representation should consider also the cost and benefits, considering all the discussion. So,
okay, can I see who is in favor?
Twelve.
Okay, so that brings us to the end of this topic, but not before I've made clear that Nkambulu, it's apparently your last time that you have presented for the board, because you will sadly be leaving us. You're going back to South Africa to pursue new opportunities after having served with us for no less than 2.5 years. You worked mostly on this project, the SME project. Did a lot behind the scenes, but also did some presentations, including the virtual conference. And you've also been a very active member of the Africa Stakeholder Committee. You've worked very hard. We thank you for all your efforts, and we wish you all the best back in South Africa. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Hans. Thank you, everyone.
OK. Okay, can we go straight to primary financial statements or should we take a break?
I would need to grab the team, so it might be just a couple minutes.
Let's just take a 5-minute break then, yeah?
Okay.